Welcome to the Coming Home Well podcast, the show that educates, supports, and advocates for the veteran community. Your host, Dr. Tyler Piron, U.S. Army retired, will bring you exciting conversations with amazing guests about resources, research, and military history, all geared to helping our warriors to come home well. Here's your host, Dr. Tyler Piron.
Welcome back to Coming Home Well. I'm your host, Dr. Tyler Piron, and today we're going to talk about honor. Well, not honor in the traditional sense. We're going to talk about honor flights. And you're going to ask yourself, what the heck are honor flights? But we're going to get into that. But they're quite amazing, and there's branches and organizations throughout the country that do some amazing things for our veterans. In order to learn a little bit more about these honor flights and what they do and how you can get involved and what veterans can take advantage of these really amazing programs, we have Diane Klopp. She's the founder of Honor Flight of Topper, Virginia. So she's in the Shenandoah Valley and beyond. So she's nearby to us and here in Charlottesville. Welcome to the show, Diane.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So let's start at the very basic. What is an honor flight?
So Honor Flight is a nationwide organization. We have 128 hubs in 45 states across the country. And basically what Honor Flight is, we fly veterans in to DC so that they have a day of honor so that they can see the memorials built for them. They can see their memorials. And it is an absolutely amazing day with absolutely no expense to the veteran. It's an all expenses paid trip. We just want to honor them for their service.
So we're talking like the Korean War Memorial, the Vietnam Memorial, the World War II Memorial, which are quite all of them are amazing. It's amazing how different they are. I don't even know if they have a Gulf War or a OAF or a current war memorial. I don't think so.
But not yet. Really, I think they're in the design stages for that.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a longest time we've been at war. So what are the ages of these folks? I mean, Korean War, my great uncle was a Korean War veteran.
Yeah, the youngest veterans that we're seeing now, most hubs will take World War II, Korea, and Vietnam veterans. So the young guys are generally in their 70s. And sadly, there are very few World War II veterans left. But the way that Honor Flight got started was back in 2004, the World War II Memorial was finally being built 60 years after the war ended. And there was a man by the name of Earl Morse. He was a physician's assistant at Wright-Patt Air Force Base in Ohio. And his patients were World War II veterans. And so all the talk among the World War II vets was, wow, the World War II Memorial is finally being built. And so Earl kept talking to his patients, oh, you're going to go see the World War II Memorial? Yeah, we're so excited. It's finally being built. We can't wait to go see it. And as time went on, Earl kept talking to these guys, did you go see your memorial? Did you get to DC? Did you get to see the World War II Memorial? And for whatever reason, the vets kept telling him that they weren't able to get there. Whether it be cost, their family couldn't get off work, they couldn't drive themselves halfway across the country, whatever the reason being. Well, it happened to be that Earl was a private pilot. And so he went up to his favorite World War II vet and he said, hey, here's what I want to do. I want to put you in my plane and fly you to DC and take you to see the World War II Memorial. Would you like to do that? And the veteran started crying. And so Earl said, you know what? I think I'm on to something here. So he went back to his buddies at the Aero Club at Wright-Patt. And he said, this is what I want to do. I want to fly World War II veterans to DC to see their memorial. And there are two rules to this. One rule is that the veteran pays absolutely nothing for the trip. And the second rule was that every veteran needed to be accompanied by a guardian to ensure their safety for the day. And so Earl got his buddies. They got six planes. They loaded up, I believe it was 12 veterans on that first trip. They flew into Manassas Regional Airfield, put them on a bus, and took them to see the World War II Memorial. And that's how the Honor Flight Network started. And it happened to be at about that same time, there was another gentleman by the name of Jeff Miller in North Carolina that came up with the same idea of flying veterans to DC. He happened to charter a plane. He wasn't a pilot. So he chartered a commercial plane and got a group of veterans, and they heard about each other. And so they joined forces, and the Honor Flight Network was born. And so that's how we got started.
So I know of so many programs. We talk to a lot of people, but there's so many things that really are so surprising. How many Veterans Affairs folks or physical therapists or physician's assistants or people that deal with veterans a lot create these awesome programs just because they recognize a need and sort of figure out how to solve it.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that since the program started, we are just shy of flying 250,000 veterans since the program started. So when you think about that, that's a lot of veterans. And sadly, there's over 50,000 veterans still on the waiting list, waiting to come. So that's our mission, is to get these guys to DC before it's too late for them.
So even though it's 250,000 veterans, it's actually like a 500,000 people because they all have to have a sponsor or a person with them.
Yeah, we call them a guardian, a buddy for the day. Yeah.
So that's 500,000 people flown to DC to see the memorials. That is so amazing. So how do you decide who gets to go on what trip?
Well, I can only speak of how we do it here in Virginia. So the way that I got started was a lot of flights come into Dulles. I live just outside of Winchester, which is a little bit over an hour to Dulles. And one day I happened to see on Facebook that one of my friends took her daughter's Girl Scout troop to Dulles to greet a flight as they were coming in. And I thought, wow, that's a really great idea. I think it's important to teach our children respect for the military, respect for their elders, respect for these veterans, because to them, it's something out of a history book. There's no meaningful connection. And so I wanted to take my kids and show them these veterans. And so I loaded up my minivan with my son's Cub Scout pack. We went up to Dulles and we stood there and we waved little flags as the veterans came off the flight. And so that was my first introduction to Honor Flight. That was about 10 years ago. And then I found out that they needed people to be guardians, to go on the trips with the veterans. And there's some bigger hubs across the country, like Chicago, for example. They have so many veterans that they're trying to get here, so many veterans on their waiting list. But what they do is they charter an entire, and then when they get to Dulles, they match up the veteran with the guardian so that they get twice as many veterans on that plane and they don't fill up the plane with guardians. And so I started volunteering as a guardian and went on a trip with the veterans. And I just honestly, I was hooked from that very first trip. It's just such an amazing experience to be able to spend the day with a veteran, seeing them see their memorials and hearing their stories and hearing the history firsthand. A lot of them have never been able to share their war experiences because it's just too painful. But when they're on the bus with 50 other guys that have been through what they've been through, then they can finally share some of that. So anyway, I was standing there one day waiting for a flight to come in, waiting for my veteran to arrive. And as I'm standing there, I was thinking, this is really great that we are doing this for the veterans flying in from across the country. But why aren't we doing this for the veterans here, the veterans here in Virginia? A 90-year-old Korean War vet can't just hop in his car and drive to DC and find parking and tour the memorials. They have the same issues with getting there logistically that veterans flying in from across the country have. And it's not just about seeing the memorials. It's the whole red carpet experience that an honor flight is. It's really something that you have to experience to understand. But from the moment that the veteran checks in the morning until the minute they go home at night, they are treated like rock stars. I mean, we try to do everything in our power to give them a red carpet experience like no other. And so I wanted the veterans in our area to be able to have that experience, just like any other veteran that would be participating in an honor flight from across the country would get. The only difference is because we're here in Virginia, we don't have the need for the plane. So we're still called honor flight, but instead of a plane, we take a 55 passenger motor coach bus.
Yeah, honor bus doesn't have the quite the same je ne sais quoi.
No, it doesn't. So we're still called honor flight, but there's no plane involved in our trips.
You bring up a great point. I'd never really thought about it. I mean, obviously you were seeing it day to day and sort of it manifested itself in the Topper, Virginia hub. But when I lived in DC, there were so many things that I never did, the touristy things, because I was working or I was doing all these things. And I realized, wow, I should go visit the Smithsonian or the Lincoln Memorial or the World War II Memorial or the Vietnam Wall. I never thought about it because I was in it all the time. And if you're in that region, just getting to the grocery store can be a challenge. Never mind going into downtown DC.
Yeah, I grew up in Alexandria. My dad worked at Andrews Air Force Base for 40 years. And so that's how I got my love and appreciation for the military. But growing up in Alexandria, we never, ever went to DC. It's just a thing you don't do. If you have family coming in from across the country to visit, then you might bite the bullet and take them to DC. But we just never went. So, yeah, I understand
that. I totally picture that. The first time that I was actually having a chance to go visit everything is I had surgery and I was at Walter Reed and they gave me like 6 weeks of convalescent leave. And I was living in Springfield. And I'm like, what am I going to do? I sit at home like the first week and I'm like, what's my shoulder? I mean, I can do things. I just can't like work. And I was like, oh, well, I had a manual shift car and I made myself over to the metro station, which was just down the road. And then I took the subway in. The metro. And then I spent all day going through all the museums. And I'm so glad I took that time and decided to keep myself busy. But then I realized, wow, all these things that I've been missing for years that I never really thought about. And our veterans that are in the area, it's really hard to get to DC.
It is. And we just had a couple trips. And one of the veterans afterwards told me, thank you. I never would have been able to do that on my own. And that's the beauty of being an honor flight is that we drive right up to the World War II Memorial. We don't need to worry about parking. We drive right up to Korea. We have a great relationship with Arlington National Cemetery. We drive right up to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier so that the veterans don't have to walk. I mean, can you imagine if a veteran had to park and then walk from the parking lot to even get to the little tram that they have at Arlington and then ride the tram to get to the Tomb of the Unknown? It just wouldn't happen. So that's something that we make happen for them.
And especially at the ages that they're generally, I mean, right now, I think you're only accepting applications for people that served prior to what, 1975, the end of Vietnam?
Yes.
So I was born in 74 and I'm old now. So, so that's a long time. I mean, these guys are like at least in their 70s.
Yeah. Every hub has different rules, but our rule here at Top of Virginia, we take anybody who served any time prior to 1975. And we don't care if they never left U.S. soil. We don't care if they never served in a war. We call them tweeners. If they served in between Korea and Vietnam, they served. They're eligible to go on an honor flight. We don't care about any of that stuff. If they're a veteran, they're a veteran and they're heroes to us and they deserve to be honored.
Oh, that's absolutely awesome. So 1975 is the cutoff of when they serve. Is there any other requirements?
No.
Like health or mobility or anything like that?
No, we have them fill out an application and we have a nurse that goes on every trip with us. She's not there to provide medical help, but she's there in case of an emergency. And so we have the ability to take a wheelchair lift bus. So if they're confined to a wheelchair, we do not let that stop us at all. We can certainly still take them. If they need somebody to push them, that's what we have guardians for. They are eligible to take a family member with them as a guardian. So if they want to take like their child or their grandchild with them to be their guardian, that is an amazing experience on both sides, or, you know, the grandson to go with grandpa and be able to experience that day with them. It's amazing. The spouse is not eligible to go with them. And I know that's not a popular rule among the elderly because a lot of spouses are joined at the hip at that age. They want to do everything with each other. But we start taking spouses, then we need caregivers for spouses, and then we just start losing seats left and right that need to be devoted to veterans. So our hard and fast rule is no spouses, but we'll take anybody to be a guardian who's between the ages of 18 and 65 and healthy enough to push a wheelchair all day.
That's an interesting point. I wonder if the impact is somewhat blunted when they're with their spouse. I mean, because they've been with them so long, as opposed to being around all the veterans and people they don't know so that they can sort of share their story and sort of get in the groove of the honor that they're receiving.
Yeah, and the camaraderie of it, definitely. I agree with that completely. And we've had some veterans, particularly Vietnam veterans, who have said, I've been able to get to DC, but I've never been able to get to the wall. And it's just an emotional experience for them. And some of them have never been able to get that closure from the war. But when they're on the bus with 50 other guys who know what they've been through, then they are finally able to get there and just let it go and get some peace. And that's something that's invaluable for us to be able to give them is peace.
It is always amazing when you get a bunch of veterans together, there's that camaraderie that just instantly forms. Even if they're in different eras, you go in and any kind of event where they have lots of veterans, even vast ranges and ages and experiences, and there's that instant camaraderie. So that's, I can totally picture that. So you're going from Virginia. Where do you cover? I know we talked about the Shenandoah Valley. I mean, that's a big place. So is it like everything south of DC down towards like Lynchburg or what's
so
what's
our
the
hub
catchment
is
area?
Called our hub is called Top of Virginia. We are based, well, our mailing address is Middletown because I live in Middletown and I'm the one who goes to the PO box. But to others, I tell them Winchester because people are more familiar with Winchester. But we currently do three trips from three completely different geographic locations, which makes us a hub in the organization. Most hubs just go from one place, but we go from three different locations. We currently do a trip from Winchester. We do a trip from Loudoun County. And we do a trip from Harrison, and we will take anyone who can get to one of those locations. So we don't have any geographic restrictions. I've taken people from West Virginia. I've taken people from Maryland. I had a lady from Pennsylvania once. We don't care where you live. If you can get to us, then we will happily take you.
So if you can get to the start point and you served prior to 1975, you can go.
Yep, absolutely.
I always wished my grandfather could have seen it. He was a World War II veteran, terrible PTSD, the night terrors. I never knew what it was as a kid. I just knew grandpa, you know, had nightmares. And I never understood, you know, as a kid, you don't. I just knew he was in the war. And only after serving and seeing this and understanding what PTSD is. And then I said, oh, I know that he had these issues. He's a wonderful man, very kind. But the night terrors and things like that, that you just weren't talking about back then. And he passed away many years ago prior to the World War II memorial even being built. But I always wish he could have gone. And so what you're doing is just so amazing, letting those folks have that opportunity to go get that closure and the camaraderie and being treated like a rock star.
Yeah. And we tell the guardian that's paired with every veteran, we tell them, we don't know what the veteran has been through. We have no way of knowing what they've been through. And so let them guide the conversation. If they want to share with you every aspect of their service, then that's fantastic. We'd love to hear it. If they don't want to speak one word of it, then that's fine too. Let them drive the conversation on whether or not they want to share. And at each stop, if they don't want to get off the bus, then that's their right too. They don't have to get off the bus. If they don't want to go to the wall, then we're not going to force them to go to the wall. They can still absolutely participate in this day of honor.
So we've talked about the veterans and the criteria, and we talked a little bit about the guardians, but how do you get involved in being a guardian? I know we have a lot of people that listen here in Central Virginia. And if you're interested in being a guardian, what do you need and how do you get trained if there's any training?
So all you have to do is go to our website, which is honorflight-tov, which is short for topofvirginia.org. And on there, you'll see a menu for forms. And you just want to fill out the one that says, click here for an online guardian application. And you fill that out. And it's just basic info, name, address, phone number, email. And then you're on our list. And once we have a trip and we have a need for a guardian, we will email you and say, hey, our next trip is coming up on such and such a date. Would you like to go? And that's all there is to it. And then we just do a very brief guardian training the day of the trip. So they don't need to do anything ahead of time other than fill out that guardian application.
So if you're a veteran or if your father or grandfather is a veteran, probably for most folks, and you're listening to the show and you want to go get involved, it's pretty much the same process, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So you go to the honorflight-tov.org, click on forms. Click here for an online veteran application. Pretty easy to do. Now, what about the folks that are, they're getting on in age, they're not exactly computer literate, and they're not really sure about how to get in touch. Are there other ways for them to get in touch with you?
Sure. They can always give us a call. Our number is 540-692-9197. And that's 540-692-9197. They'll call. I'm the one who answers the phone. So just say, hey, I would like to have a veteran application or I'd like to have a guardian application, and I'll be happy to put one in the mail to them.
So the folks that are listening, they probably know how to get on the websites. But if your veteran doesn't really want to find out more, they can always call. It's super easy. But I just want to make sure that there's lots of ways to get in touch with you. And that it's not super difficult. You just want to know, hey, when's the next one? Or when can I get on the list? How badly has COVID impacted your ability to do these trips?
Well, it shut us down for a long time. And that was really sad because we lost several veterans who were on our waiting list during COVID. And that's sad because we're really working against the clock with a lot of these guys to get them there before it's too late. And sadly, we lost several veterans that we had on our list and it's too late for them now. But we recently were given the green light to start trips again. And a lot of hubs are still not flying. But here at Top of Virginia, we got our board of directors together and we decided that we didn't want to wait any longer. We didn't want to risk losing any more veterans before it was too late. So we did something we've never done before. We put together three trips, one from each of our locations, and we did it in 4 weeks' time. So they opened us back up in the middle of August. We hit the ground running. We did a trip from Winchester, September 18th. We did a trip from Harrisonburg, September 25th. And we did a trip from Loudoun on October 9th. So in the span of 4 weeks, we honored over 100 veterans.
Wow, that's a lot of people, especially considering the population that's getting more and more fewer and fewer World War II veterans. Still a lot of Vietnam veterans, but not as many Korea veterans either. It's certainly a long time. And getting them the opportunity, I could certainly see why you decided, you know what, this is the time. It's the best thing to do. I couldn't imagine what you guys were, the frustration of knowing that these folks are not going to be able to go because they're not going to be around when everything shut down because of COVID.
Yeah. And it's hard because you don't know. Every month you think it's getting better, but is it getting better? Is it getting worse? And then you start planning and you start scheduling the buses and then you have to cancel the buses and then you schedule the buses again. And ooh, it was a lot of work, but definitely worth it.
A lot of people in a short amount of time, 4 weeks, three trips from three different locations and getting everything organized and getting everything set up must have been absolutely a Herculean effort. And I know that every single one of those veterans must have been so overjoyed to get the call that, hey, we're having the trip and this is when and where.
It was a fantastic day. We were just blessed with fantastic weather. October in Virginia, you never know what you're going to get. It could be snowy.
Could be sunny, could be raining.
Could be sunny.
Yeah, you have no idea.
We were blessed. We had great sunny weather every single day, and it was fantastic. Fantastic trips all the way around.
So we've been talking with Diane Klopp. She's the founder of Honor Flight, top of Virginia. It's a wonderful organization. It's part of the Honor Flight throughout the whole country. Diane, before I let you go, what should I have asked you about but didn't?
I would like to describe a typical trip.
Sure.
So what we do, since you're based in Charlottesville, let's use Harrisonburg as an example. And I'd like to just go through what a typical day is for the veteran. So it would start with them arriving bright and early. For our Harrisonburg trips, we leave from the Rockingham County Fairgrounds and the veterans check in. We give them an Honor Flight polo shirt to wear. That's their uniform for the day. We feed them breakfast and we pair them up with their guardian. And we have a professional photographer that donates all of his services to us. And so the photographer takes their picture with the flag in the background. And we have a brief opening ceremony. We are really lucky with the Harrisonburg location. We have a great relationship with the JMU ROTC kids. And so they supplied over 20 guardians for us on this last trip. And I think it's just fantastic because the veterans love having the ROTC kids. The ROTC kids love having the veterans, and they just learn from each other. And it's great. I mean, we have the veterans telling the ROTC cadets, you know, what military life is really like. And it's just great to see those two generations working together. We had a World War II vet had his iPhone out teaching us how to use it. So it's great. You never know what relationships are going to form there. We had another veteran that had such a great time with his ROTC cadet that he had her coming over for Sunday dinner the next day. So it's great relationships that form with that. So anyway, we get them checked in. We do a brief opening ceremony with the color guard and we load up the buses and we head to DC. And we go to the World War II Memorial. We'll spend about an hour there touring the memorial. We take an official group photo there and we just tour the memorial. Then we head down the street to Korea and Vietnam. We go to the Air Force Memorial where we have lunch, sit outside and have lunch and enjoy the beautiful views. And then I talked briefly before about the entrance into Arlington National Cemetery. We have special access that we drive the tour bus right up to the Tomb of the Unknowns. And we have a special chained off area for our veterans so that they get front row viewing of the changing of the guard at Arlington. And
that's a special type thing because I know it's really hard to get tickets or arrangements to sit up front.
Yeah, that's my favorite stop of the day. There is nothing like you've been pushing around a World War II veteran in his wheelchair all day long. And then he gets there and they start playing taps and he stands up and salutes. That's just, it gives me goosebumps every time I think about it. That's the kind of special memories that you get from an Honor Flight trip.
It's giving me goosebumps just hearing about it.
And then sometimes when we have time and opportunity, we'll also take a special trip and go to the Caisson Stables at Fort Myer. Those are the stables where they keep the horses that pull for the funerals at Arlington. And we've gone there once, and the veterans absolutely loved seeing the horses and getting the tour there. So that's something that even people that have grown up in this area don't usually do. So that's a nice little side trip that we'd like to throw in there.
That is really great opportunity because I was at Fort Myer. My headquarters was right next to, I went right by the 3rd Infantry Division, or not division, yeah, the Old Guard. I always get the unit wrong. I'm terrible at that. But watching the horses, because they're just training and you know, taking care of the horses, it is quite the production of what goes involved in these funerals. It's not just a ragtag boot bunch of guys that got on detail. These guys and it's quite amazing, especially the horses. It's quite a great visual of the deep respect we have for our veterans.
Yeah, those horses are treated like royalty, and it's great to see behind the scenes like that. That's not something that most people get to see. And so then we load up the bus and we head home, and we have a couple of different surprises that we do for the veterans on the ride home. And so then we get back and we have a big welcome home celebration for them. What we tell them ahead of time is that they're going to get dinner, and we have dinner catered by Mission Barbecue, and all the veterans love Mission Barbecue, and so they're looking forward to dinner. But what they don't know is that it's this huge welcome home celebration that so many of them, especially the Vietnam vets, you know, they were treated horrifically. And so we know we can't make up for the horrendous way that they were treated when they did return from war, but we try to give them the welcome home celebration that they never received. And so it's this just huge welcome home celebration to welcome them home and thank them for their service.
I can't imagine the planning and coordination that has to go in to get all these pieces in place to all happen in one day. This is like planning a wedding or several weddings at the same day with 50 different people.
It is. It really is. And I don't think people understand that, because I had a couple people call me the day before our last trip. Hey, can I get on this trip? I'm sorry, but no, you can't. It takes a lot of effort. We have to buy the shirts for all of them and their size, and we make name badges. And so we're not dealing with TSA and getting on a plane, but there's a lot of behind the scenes work that goes into making it happen. It's a lot more involved than just going and hopping on a bus.
Yeah, I could totally where someone would see that it's, oh, it's just hop on the bus, no big deal. It's just basically a bus ride. But it's so much more than a bus ride to DC. It's an entire event, experience even.
It is. We try to make it, for them, it is a one-shot deal. They can only go on one honor flight trip. And so we try to make it a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And we actually had a vet come up to us. This is the one thing that stood out for me. We've been doing this for 5 years now at our hub. I had a Vietnam vet come up to me after a trip, and he said, now that I've been honored, I can die in peace. And so that has made it all worthwhile for me to be able to give somebody that. That's why we do what we do.
I can't imagine anything more profound than that. That is so amazing that you can give that to someone with really, you just don't know how it's going to impact someone, but to say that they can die in peace is more than most of us can ever do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's incredibly rewarding. I'm blessed to be able to be a part of it.
Diane, thank you so much for sharing with us about the honor flights, but especially the top of Virginia and the opportunities that folks have here in the Shenandoah, Middle Virginia, sort of Maryland, sort of all over the place. As long as you can get to Winchester, Harrisonburg, or Loudoun County, they'll let you go. As long as you serve before 1975. That is so amazing, especially the way Vietnam veterans were treated. It was an absolute disgrace on our nation. But you and the other honor flights, and they're in 45 states. So if you're listening somewhere else, there's probably a local chapter or hub, as they call them, near you. So go check it out. Go search for Honor Flight. But if you're in Virginia, go to honorflight-tov.org. Diane, thank you so much for telling us about all this. I'm so impressed at the level of preparation and care and attention that you are honoring our most valued and honored veterans.
Thank you so much for allowing me to share. It's word of mouth that helps us to get this out. There are so many senior scams these days. And when people hear about us, a lot of times they think it's nothing's free. But I invite you to talk to any veteran that's been on an honor flight, and they will tell you absolutely, you will not pay a penny for the trip. We will not call you afterwards asking for a donation. We do not do that. We simply do not do that. That's one of our core values, is that we do not take money from the veteran. And so I just wanted to put that out there, because I can't tell you how many times I've called a veteran and been hung up on because they think I'm trying to sell them something. And so just wanted to make it clear, we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We're on the up and up. And any veteran that's been on one of our trips, and they will vouch for us.
Well, I can also say that we only talk to organizations that we have fully vetted. So if we're having you on the show, guys, you can trust it. It's not a fake scam. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme or somebody targeting veterans. There's a lot of organizations that are fly-by-night and are just trying to make a buck. We only talk to organizations that are there to provide services for veterans. If there's a cost, we always talk about that up front. But otherwise, totally free and totally a chance of a lifetime for those special veterans that aren't going to be with us much longer. Diane, thank you so much for joining us. And I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey folks, Tyler here at Coming Home Well. I want to give a big shout out to our sponsor, BetterHelp, for sponsoring our podcast. As a veteran-related podcast, we cover a lot of topics and really difficult issues that our service members face when they return home from war. BetterHelp.com is one of the leaders in online counseling and will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist in under 48 hours. Now, it's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. But what it is professional therapy done securely online. If you go to betterhelp.com/comingwell, you'll be automatically put in for a discount code of 10% off your first month of therapy, which is a good deal. If you don't see the 10% off automatically, just put in the discount code comingwell, all one word, as this also gets you your 10% off. If you're experiencing financial hardships, let them know. There is financial aid available in the form of an extra discount. They're great at what they do, and what they do is help us veterans to come home well.
Thanks for joining us this week on Coming Home Well with Dr. Tyler Pieron. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and a review. Follow us on Instagram at @ComingHomeWell_BTS or on Twitter at @ComingHomeWell. Thanks again. And until all are home and all are well, this is Coming Home Well.